summon the Spirit of God. A covenant begins. Persons enter an institution or an office that is greater than themselves. Such are the intersections between marriage and ordination. But there's one more convergence that we dare not miss, common to marriage and ordination. When one enters into these covenants, when a parish, as we have just done, joins the covenant of those consecrating their lives to God, we glimpse the future. Every congregation hears the gravity of the vows that a bride, a groom, and an ordinand make before God. These are solemn, holy words that no man or woman can fulfill by their willpower. So thank God for the wisdom of liturgy, which conditions your vows with the words I will, with the phrase, the Lord being my helper. We anticipate failures, and yet we pray that when we come to these holy moments, as one theologian said, that we would know the Christian paradox of success through failures. The future that we glimpse in an ordination service, it is not simply the lessons or the personal growth of the one to be ordained. No, we glimpse the gospel shining greater light into deep darkness. Just as bride and groom become one flesh and they become icons of Christ and his church, deacons become icons of Christ's love and presence in the world and for the world. And so in her wisdom, the church ordains deacons. And the church sends her deacons to the peripheries of cities and towns, to the peripheries of human experience. Deacons are representatives of God's mission in the world. They are not replacements for the people of God joining in that mission. And so, to use a military notion, deacons are the tip of the spear, bringing light into darkness. Deacons lead the missional life, where the laos, the people of God, where they follow after. So when God sends and when he works through deacons, we glimpse the places that we are meant to serve as a parish in the parish. Now deacons, of course, they concentrate on good practical works in the church and the world, and rightly so. The very meaning of the word deacon in Greek is servant. And yet there's a paradox within a deacon's life. It's a paradox within the very first ordination of deacons in the Jerusalem church that we just heard a moment ago in Acts 6. Notice the criteria in Acts 6 for selecting deacons at this crucial moment of the church in Acts: a good reputation, filled with the Spirit of God, and wisdom. All of those are interior qualities. All of these are matters of the heart. They are matters of character and virtue for one called to outward service, to missional service. These were the essential qualifications established by the apostles for diaconal service. Now, yes, of course, the principal need for deacons, it involved this inequity, the need to evenly distribute meals to Greek widows in the Jerusalem church. And yet the call to service, it was not simply seven able-bodied men with a good work ethic and good organizational skills. They were not seeking Enneagram 2 personalities. Though their ministry will be the most tangible, even the most tactile among the church's leaders, deacons must reveal the intangible work of God's Holy Spirit within their souls. A good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, wisdom. These are not only qualifications for the beginning of gospel ministry, Bruce. They are spiritual qualities to be nurtured into full maturity as you are ordained to this office. A man and a woman, they become one flesh. They become husband and wife on their wedding day. Yet the sacramental quality of marriage means they strive for the perfection of that oneness, of that mystery in Christ. They pursue it all their lives. Well, so also with deacons. Today, Bruce, you will be ordained a deacon in Christ's one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. Ordination bears a sacramental quality that invites you to fulfill the mystery of diaconal mystery entrusted to you. And as St. Paul said to the Philippian church, so we would speak to ordained pastors. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. This ordained life calls you to cooperate with Christ as you mature in your calling and your service. Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, the original seven deacons. We know considerably more, of course, about Stephen than the other six deacons, and yet this much we can infer about all seven lives. The church trusted these men. They trusted these men. Their manner of life, before they were called into this service, it was already bringing honor to the name of Jesus before their selection as deacons. Their conduct was a worthy example for the young church. And just as the early church, the Jerusalem church, trusted these deacons, so this parish and this diocese trusts you, Bruce. We trust you. We have witnessed the habits and the qualities of a servant before your discernment committee convened, even for the first time. A willingness to serve in ways great and small, to serve in visible ways, to serve behind the scenes. And I learned from Bruce that when Father Rob began recruiting Bruce's help for building needs and projects, Bruce learned to travel with tools anytime he left the house, because Father Rob might call and there could be work to be done. See, that's one of those habits of a deacon that we've seen. Your good example not only reflects the Corrigan name, your example now especially reflects the Church of Jesus Christ as an ordained deacon. This trust is a sacred trust. Uphold this good reputation for the glory of God. And seek to be filled and renewed by the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. Our Lord Jesus plainly declared to his disciples, without me, you can do nothing. Pray that verse. Write that verse on your heart. To quote one of my favorite songwriters, Rich Mullins, we are not as strong as we think we are. That's a really good motto for all pastors. We are not as strong as we think we are. Learning and practicing spiritual dependence, it's vital in pastoral life. Because willpower, enthusiasm, passion, you'll come to moments where they'll run out. Our fervor for gospel ministry, it's like the wine at Cana. It's good, but it'll run out. The really good wine, the best wine, is the transfiguring work Christ does within us when our best efforts, our finest offerings have run out and we come to Him. Being filled with the Spirit of God, it means depending on the Lord's strength as you serve, and yet depending on Him means even more than that. It means being filled with the Spirit of God to enjoy communion with Him. He is your heart's true home. Seek his presence continually, as the psalmist said. Seek his presence not only for counsel and pastoral matters, not only when you are preparing to preach or teach. Seek his presence continually to enjoy God for his own sake. You know, one of my favorite questions as a pastor is, I was sharing this with our vestry earlier this week, how may I pray for you? And a few years ago, I decided that I would give the same answer every time because it's my favorite answer. Pray that I would be rooted in the Word of God. Pray that I would seek the presence of God continually. That's my prayer request, now and evermore. In the words of our Lord Jesus, stay awake and ready to meet the Lord, not only at the end of your life or at the end of time, but every morning, stay awake. Seek his presence. Seek him every hour of your life. And this brings us to the place of wisdom in a deacon's life. Seek the wisdom of God in your pastoral ministry. And there is no wisdom apart from our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the very Word, the very wisdom of God. Set your gaze, fix your eyes, focus your mind on the truths of Scripture. Just as the psalmist prayed in Psalm 119, as we sang moments ago, oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. This is for your sake, yet it is not only for your sake. When one comes to ordination, the stakes are raised now. You represent the Church of Jesus Christ with this vocation, with this ordination. So when you abide in Christ, when you are rooted in the Word of God, it will not only be your own soul that flourishes, it will mean flourishing for all you serve, for all that you serve here, for all that you serve on the periphery of the church, for all in your pastoral care. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. This kind of blessing, it brings joy, because when we abide in the Word of God, we experience the treasures of the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and the Holy Spirit. And not only ourselves only, but all who are entrusted to our care. These are the original and they are the timeless qualities of deacons. And Bruce, you are being ordained at, to say the very least, you're being ordained at a very interesting time, a very crucial time in the church's story. The call of God comes at the most mysterious of times. See, the church ordains, the church sends her leaders, especially when the stakes are high. Always has, always will. God summons Jeremiah in the midst of Israel's great apostasy. Jeremiah responds and feels his inadequacy, a really good thing. Jeremiah bears God's word in a world that is clutching to their idols and that's taking the express train to Babylon. And our seven original deacons, they received their ordination at a crucial moment too. The presenting need, of course, were widows who needed regular meals. But did you notice? Another urgent need in their mix? Another group that was on the periphery? It's the priests in the temple. Look at verse 7. Luke would have us see that the Spirit's work through deacons and the apostles meant that the Word of God kept on spreading, the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Well, hallelujah for deacons proclaiming the gospel among priests when the priests were losing their way. Thanks be to God that a great many priests became obedient as a result of deacon ordinations. Sadly, though, there was another company of priests, another great many priests around the temple and nearby synagogues that vehemently rejected the truth of the gospel. And we see, too, that from the inception of this office, Stephen proclaims the gospel amid great opposition, hostility, and unbelief. Bruce, you are ordained a deacon at a time in our world of great heaviness and conflict, of skepticism and unbelief. We live in a secular age, and each year we see more evidence that we inhabit a post-Christian world. You're being ordained in a world that is filled with contradictions. Just to give one, on the one hand, opposition to the church's beliefs has become more and more outspoken in our culture, even in recent years. And then you got, on the other hand, that a global pandemic has deepened a spirit of apathy and malaise and of despair and hopelessness. That spirit was shaping souls long before the coronavirus crossed borders, but it's intensified in these years. So how urgent in a crucial time such as this, when the stakes are raised, when opposition increases, that we ordain deacons to serve the Lord and His church. And not only for work in the household of faith, but that we send deacons in the name of Jesus Christ to the periphery of the cities, to the peripheries of human experience. And take with you that wonderful song of Zechariah, that hope that Zechariah sang, that in the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. So in a world of contested truth claims, in a world of shut down conversations, shouting, and rancor, personal holiness is crucial. Personal holiness proclaims a beautiful gospel. The poet Emily Dickinson penned, "Tell the truth and tell it slant." We could improvise those phrases for deacons and all pastors in our time. Live the truth of God and live it slant. Pursue holiness in this life of pastoral service. Pursue holiness when you are serving those on the periphery of our world. Your heart, I know, longs to serve those who do not know Christ, who have walked away from the church. Your heart is turned towards veterans and those in prison. Live the truth of God among these ones and among us from the heart, with the love of God burning within you. Wherever He sends you, Bruce, pursue holiness, and the Lord will shine the light of His love through you. In 1949, the Christian philosopher Eugen Rosenstock Huessy, he addressed a world that was at a crucial moment. They had been broken by two world wars, and looking upon that broken world, a world of uncertainty in that time, Rosenstock Huessy said, "Christianity in the future must carry on its mission through contagious example." Contagious example. We are here because we have seen the character of Christ within you, the character of a servant. You are ordained tonight to carry on the mission of the church in this city and here among us through contagious example. We really enjoy Bruce Corrigan. And yet what we need most, this church, this parish, what we need most of all is Christ in you. As St. Paul said, that is the hope of glory. So may you always be rooted and grounded in Christ, who dwells within you by the Holy Spirit. May you seek his presence continually. And may the word of God keep spreading and disciples keep increasing because of the ordination that you receive tonight. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.